Hello, welcome to our Rural Wisdom podcast. I'm Drew Edwards from NDTI. I'm joined by one of my colleagues, Vicky, who's working on the evaluation of this project. And today I'm also joined by members from Volunteer Matters who've been working on the Rural Wisdom project in Wales. Welcome. If I could start by asking you to introduce yourselves, please.
Hello, my name is Shireen Devine and I am the Engagement Manager for Rural Wisdom in Flintshire.
Hello, I'm Rachel Evans and I'm the Project Manager for West Wales for Volunteer Matters, a particular interest in Rural Wisdom at the moment.
I'm Vicky Mason-Angelo and I'm an evaluator working at NDTI on the Rural Wisdom project.
Thank you, and thank you all for joining us on this podcast. We're going to start with our first question, which is, can you tell us a bit about Rural Wisdom?
Well, the thought behind Rural Wisdom was, what can a community do for itself if it has its own dedicated worker for a couple of years? And this is different from some of the projects or schemes that have taken place because there was absolutely no structure around it. We waited until project staff had been put in post and then they talked to the communities, find out what was needed to identify those small but achievable tasks that communities wanted to tackle to make a real change in their lives.
So how does your role fit into that? So coming to you first, Shireen.
So when I joined Rural Wisdom, I was told that I'd be working with the community of Leeswood and Pontblydyn. And I went off there to introduce myself with no agenda. There were no set targets or goals or anything particularly that I was asked to do. And I just went along to the community, introduced myself. There'd been some work with the NDTI previously, just some introductions and a little bit about the project, and it went from there. Turning up in this community, not knowing anybody, not knowing what I was going to do, not knowing what I was going to be asked to do, and it was very, very different from any other role I've ever had, really. It was quite exciting. Yeah,
it sounds it. And is your role similar, Rachel?
Yes, I'm a junior manager in Volunteering Matters, so part of my role is to support Shireen's work. And Shireen first took on an extremely rural community in Flintshire, whereas I took on a town in a rural county.
Vicky, yes. At what point did you get involved?
So I became involved almost exactly a year ago. So in October 2020, I took over working with Wales. So working with Rachel and Shireen on capturing the learning, presenting that and disseminating it. But I also work with Louise, who's up in Scotland for Outside the Box. And I'm pulling everything together across Wales and Scotland as the project comes to an end and the evaluation comes to an end.
But it's been over 5 years, and quite a big portion of that 5 years will have been during the pandemic. COVID changed a lot of community projects, but you've achieved a great deal. So can you tell us a bit about that before the pandemic?
So yeah, COVID did change a lot of community projects and Rural Wisdom had to change. In terms of our bigger organisation, Volunteering Matters, they stopped, they looked inward for a couple of weeks, they regrouped and they came out fighting. You know, funders embraced repurposing of funding and redirected efforts to combat coronavirus. In terms of the project, it definitely had to change. And in Pembrokeshire, my efforts concentrated on keeping people connected and informed online when all the face-to-face activity had to reach a full stop. So the mailing list that I had created alongside the events listing for Milford Haven, which was the first area, that proved absolutely invaluable in Pembrokeshire.
And what kind of things had you achieved before the pandemic?
It took time before we achieved anything, really. And I think it was the approach that we use. The whole design of Rural Wisdom is place-based approach. So we worked very much on the ground level with the community. We do with and not do for. Rural Wisdom's not a project that does things to a community, you know, and we look at what works. And with the place-based approach, we're recognising the assets in the community that already exist, rather than looking for the faults and what's not working. And we build on those assets, which really is the people in the community. They're the biggest asset of any community. And it takes time to build up relationships and to get to know people and for people to trust us as well, because many communities have heard things before, you know, they've had promises, they've been told things that are completely undeliverable, that it's not going to happen. So it kind of it took a time. We just had to listen to what people wanted and we had to be realistic about things we could achieve. For example, I think everybody told me that they were unhappy with the parking system outside the co-op. And after working with that community, I worked with them for 3 years. I felt the pain, but we have to be realistic in that situation. We can signpost them to the county councillor and the agencies that could help that. So in Leeswood, we set up a community cafe, which is still very successful now, completely independent of Rural Wisdom. It survived the pandemic. They're open and the volunteers will be there tomorrow. The community activists will be there and that's back up and running. We had a monthly lunch club in the school where the older people came across to the school once a month and had a two-course lunch, and the children waited on the tables, occasionally sang a song, gave everybody cards and pictures. That did happen every month. We had pop-up cinemas, we had carvery, we worked with businesses and the school and community members to become dementia friends, because part of the Rural Wisdom Project here in Wales, we're striving to be age and dementia friendly communities. Quickly moving on to Hollywell, we've set up a community garden where people will grow food, fruit, vegetables, bring generations together. And that was made possible through funding through Keep Wales Tidy.
That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. It's amazing. They're brilliant things for communities and fantastic examples of how people have pulled together. So how did the pandemic affect that? You know, what challenges were you faced with some of those pieces of work and how did you adapt?
Well, I think it's like Rachel mentioned it earlier, as an organisation, Volunteer Matters, we stopped quite early on. We stopped before the Welsh Government, before Boris even had said, you know, we're in lockdown, and kind of for our own safety, we kind of stopped doing any face-to-face work. I think it was a couple of weeks before any announcement. And of course, how can you do community development role when you can't spend any time in the community? It obviously became very difficult, and Rural Wisdom really became COVID response, and we delivered that in our areas first of all, you know. So a lot of the people in Leeswood, the community members in Leeswood, called and said, what are you doing, can we help? And they wanted to do some COVID response work in their community, but they felt they would be better doing it with our support, with an organisation that they knew and they trusted and they already had a relationship with. So all of a sudden, these community members who were volunteering very informally in their community with Rural Wisdom became fully fledged volunteers. They had to go through the process like everybody else, of DBSs and references, and we trained them, and they began doing shopping for people, collecting medication, telephone befriending. There was just a huge shift really on what we were delivering. So we were no longer really community development, we were community support, supporting people we'd already had a connection with through, I think, the most difficult time in that any of us have ever seen in our lifetime. And just kind of keeping in touch with people over the phone, if they had the technology, Zoom calls, a couple of coffee mornings, a couple of get-togethers. So yeah, it was very different.
And although we could never have imagined it, communication became so much easier. It didn't involve travel or being in the same room, so everybody could keep safe. But I think it was an incredibly productive time in many ways. The COVID response work that Shireen just alluded to in her patch in Flintshire, that took place amongst our whole team in Volunteer Matters, and Pembrokeshire was no different. But at the same time, you know, we wanted to keep an eye on the aims of Rural Wisdom and the whole thing about keeping people connected, making the most of the connections that we had formed. So over time, between Wales and Scotland, a series of conversations started. We've had one around older people, and we managed to secure the time of Helena Hurtklotz, the Wales Commissioner for Older People. We had one about social isolation with men and mental health.
Climate change.
Yeah. Was that the one, Shireen, where you got the lady along?
Yeah.
So is it fair to say that you reached different groups of people because of the pandemic, or were they the same people but you're talking to them in different ways? I mean, how did it change the interaction with the communities?
I think we started to reach different people. We tried to maintain the links with the people that we had already contacted and been in touch with. But the fact that we were working online made our reach much greater. And with the help of our lead partners outside the box in Scotland, we were able to reach across, you know, and two home nations were talking to each other on a regular basis. And that is still happening. But so many people have got together in these conversation starters, and the team, our team, the Rural Wisdom team, gets together on a regular basis to discuss progress, to discuss new ideas, to discuss how we can move things forward.
The conversation starters have been really successful, I feel. And Rural Wisdom is a shared learning project. And this has enabled us, technology has enabled us to come together online and look at the shared learning aspect of the project. And I know the Scottish team, Rachel, they, you know, were really interested in your community transport, and, you know, we are learning from each other and trying to introduce things into our communities that we've learned from each other.
It's like we hadn't considered that we could have done this at any time. And like many organisations across the country, you know, the people just weren't considering they could talk like this. Did you have Teams or Zoom before the pandemic, or was it a new thing you had to get to grips with very quickly?
I had never Zoomed before the pandemic. It's hard to think back now. I think we had Teams, but we've also had a major IT overhaul in this time as well. But I could never have imagined being in online video contact with people as much as I am, even though we've missed that vital connection with community members. And as Shireen said very rightly right at the start of this chat, you know, that's what it's all about.
And what about people in the communities? Did they feel the same? I mean, access to IT is obviously one of those things that comes up quite an awful lot in projects. Did they have access to IT? Is that something you had to overcome in order to include people?
I think it was very mixed. Some of the people in the community are internet gurus. Before COVID, I'd never used Zoom. And we'd been introduced to Teams, Rachel, hadn't we? And we began slowly using it as an organisation. So we had to learn as well, you know, on how to embrace technology more. Here in Flintshire, we were quite lucky because before COVID, we were working with Flintshire County Council and Digital Wales to identify people that could have a tablet on loan, and that came with data and things, and we'd started giving a couple out. And I work on another project called Getting Together Matters, and we also give out tablets on loan with full data, and we match people up with digital companions, with digital buddies that are teaching them how to use it, you know, over the phone, which is, I'm sure, is quite difficult, but the volunteers have done really well. But we have to be mindful that not everybody wants it. It's not for everybody, and it's just respecting that and giving that person the phone call.
My second community was the little villages on the Dale Peninsula, which is a very remote part of Pembrokeshire. And that's a small, close-knit community. So where people were getting those messages and those updates, I was confident that those were being spread amongst community members who may not have been online. So the jungle drums were working well. But yeah, there is no doubt about it that people who had no digital life have been disadvantaged.
Yeah.
How have things changed, and what's the learning been from that, especially now that the project is coming to a close? Have you embedded things back in, started to think about how communities can take the initiatives that you've worked on forward?
I think it's difficult, isn't it? I'm sure Rachel agree. We've lost a massive chunk of time. And there's a lot of things that I would have liked to have achieved. I'm nowhere near at the stage I would want to be at this stage of the project, and I know that's not going to happen. So it's accepting kind of what I can't change, really.
Yeah, there is definitely a sense of loss for myself. You know, in the Dale Peninsula, I was starting to make a bit of progress. I had great partnership going with the local community connectors. We'd done a mystery tour on the bus. We'd had a couple of really lovely information sessions, and so there is a sense of loss, really, about what we haven't been able to do. But I think for Shireen and myself, we've been crafting other ways that we can benefit those communities. So you know, Shireen is in conversation with her communities about what might happen in the future. She's speaking with decision makers, and the same thing has happened in Pembrokeshire. And I think our work in Rural Wisdom has been a springboard for some other developments that will continue to benefit people. And in terms of what's left to do and how can communities tackle this, I don't think their links with Rural Wisdom or with Volunteering Matters will be lost. They have that conduit to advice and support. And I hope that they won't be strangers to us. You know, people may feel able to crack on with tackling those little tasks once they feel safer.
What's been your favourite part of the project? What have you most enjoyed?
I don't mind a challenge, me. And it's that challenge of coming into a community. I mean, I am a Pembrokeshire girl, but I'm not a Milford girl and I'm not a Dale Peninsula girl. So it's coming to areas where you may not be known. And it's the challenge of building up trust, helping people see what can be done, helping people see that you're there to help them achieve what they want to achieve. I love that process of the new work and building those relationships. That feels like a really positive part of any work to me. And I enjoy that process.
Yeah, I think it was the blank canvas at the beginning was I really enjoyed that. Although I was quite nervous at the time, to have that freedom really to work with the community was amazing. And I think it's been an honour and a privilege really to be part of these communities, building up those relationship and connections. And I know when my time came at Leeswood, I think I was in the community cafe and I was asked for an opinion, and I said, well, you know, I'm always mindful that I'm a guest in your community. And I was told, no, you're not, you're one of us now.
Vicky, what have been some of the things, the real highlights that have stood out for you in working on the project and pulling the information together?
It is one of those really unique projects, and one of those projects that makes me smile when I think about having conversations with people, because it's so different. That blank canvas that you mentioned, Shireen, is, you don't very often get that in projects, and certainly not projects that I'm evaluating. I don't hear that people have that freedom to actually genuinely work with the communities and hear what they want and take that forward. And I think that is, it's really interesting to be involved in, and then to hear about everything you've been able to do in working in that way, and all of the groundwork that you didn't realise that you were doing that when COVID hit, that meant you were able then to still stay connected to those communities. It's been really interesting to read back on that, and then to have conversations with you over the last year to hear how that's going. And obviously I'm working with Scotland as well, and pulling that in. And there is a real sense of community within the Rural Wisdom team. My first ever meeting with any of you was at the national gathering last October, November time. And I very much was a fly on the wall in that session. And there was a real sense of community, and everybody knew each other, and the conversations that were happening were like we were sat together in a room over a cup of tea. It was really lovely. And then every joint session that I've been to throughout the last year has been the same, that there is that connectedness. And I don't know whether that's because of the technology that you'd all been working with that you mentioned, Rachel, or whether that was there before and it's just been heightened by being able to communicate more often with each other. So those have been it's one of those projects that I enjoy having conversations with you all. And it's one that when I hear about what's been happening, it always makes me smile that, you know, there's actually stuff happening out there with people.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, obviously, community groups will continue to spring up as and when, you know, funding and time and being able to mingle with people allows. What advice would you offer other communities who might be thinking about a similar project?
I think, and this sounds quite odd coming from a volunteering organisation, but I think it's the realisation that you don't necessarily have to be a formally recruited volunteer to make a difference in your community. You know, there are great advantages to that. It means that you have a level of protection. It normally means that you're working under the auspices of a recognised organisation. There are all kinds of comforts to being formally recruited. But I think throughout the pandemic as well, people have realised that they can step forward and do something for their communities, and it doesn't have to take a lot of time. It doesn't have to involve a lot of form filling. And Shireen and I found that out for ourselves with the Rural Wisdom Project. You know, they were the same few people that would turn up to support us and want to help us, and they weren't necessarily formally recruited volunteers. So I think it can be easier to get started than you think.
Yeah. And I think listening to the community is really important from day one. I'll give you an example of a bit of a disaster in my own community where I live. It's been on the BBC News and it's been on the radio, and we have quite a controversial statue in the placed in the town, and there was a vote last Friday on Saturday on its removal. We were never asked if we wanted that statue, you know. So it's caused an enormous nationwide fuss, but the community, we were never asked, you know. And this is where Rural Wisdom has its, you know, has its strengths, really. We don't do things to the community, whether it's plonking up statues or telling people they have a knitting group that they don't want. You know, it has to be from a community level.
Thank you for sharing your stories today on this podcast. And for anybody that wants to know a bit more about the Rural Wisdom Project, you can visit ruralwisdom.org or the NDTI website, which will also have the reports, which covers everything that both partners in Scotland and Wales have been working on. Thank you.